Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for June 4th, 2011. Today, I'll be interviewing Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, and we'll be discussing the divine feminine frequencies, the birth of a new earth, and some very interesting experience Laura has had. Laura, thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
I would like to hear a little bit about some of your experiences growing up, hearing about your grandfather, Dwight Eisenhower. What was that like?
Well, that was interesting because, you know, you just kind of grow up in a family, you have your friends, and you know, you just start to get to know what it's all about, who your parents are and what your family's about. So I was like, whoa, I mean, this is really interesting. You know, there was just a lot coming at me, I think, because of it, that was very much on a global level. I mean, I just was really starting to feel what was necessary for our planet, you know, starting at the age of like 7 or 8, and sort of seeing that it tied into a lot of my personal past, just as a soul, as an incarnation here in this particular age. And when I was tuning into the Eisenhower energies and just him as a being, I really felt his presence there. So as I was kind of opening myself up to what he was all about, it wasn't so much through politics or through looking at history books. It was on a more personal level and on a more bigger picture level in relation to what type of person he was and what he was up against, you know, with the Second World War and what exactly happened when he became president. So it's sort of seeing it from a level of him as a being rather than how history has stated it or what we hear in the books, because obviously the ET issue and different things regarding the secret government were not included in those texts. So I was always coming from a different angle as I was growing up, and of course it has increased as I've gotten older. And a lot of it wasn't anything that I heard about in family, in the family. It wasn't like I have all these secrets that the family was sharing. It was sort of my own personal thing to really delve into this and uncover a lot.
Oh, I really believe everyone comes into a family and a time that's consistent with their soul attainment, their soul contracts, etc. And it's really interesting. I mean, it would, for me to put yourself in your shoes, you know, to have that historical focus, you know, through your family, and then of course your mission, you know, coming into that and taking it to the next level. And I understand that you have extraordinary intuitive gifts, and I really highly recommend everyone, if they could have a chance, to go to Laura's website, and I have that listed there at CosmicGaia2012.com, there on the Cosmic Love webpage. And you have a lot of amazing interviews, radio interviews and YouTube interviews and YouTube discussions. That gives a very full background, an orientation to your sensitivity this connection that you have to the Magdalene or Sophia energies of love and wisdom, I think is a real a depth perspective, of course, that's sorely needed, you know, at this time. And I can see how your experiences dealing with the whole historical milieu, you know, what's been going on at this time, to me, I find it really, this must be a fascinating soul path for you.
Yeah, it's sometimes I'm like, you know, the whole biting off more than you can chew, complete and total overwhelm, you know, kind
oh,
of
yeah.
Wanting to review the contract, see if I can just change it just a little bit, maybe, you know, have a vacation, take a break. And it's just so embedded in my soul and nervous system that it's been my whole life. And it is interesting because, you know, you're dealing with the government aspect of it, the military-industrial complex, and then this missing link to sort of break that all down, which is where these frequencies, the Sophia love wisdom energy, comes in as being the organic, you know, creation, the organic aspect of our existence that is very much a part of divine will, a part of nature, a part of what we're unfolding on an ascension level when it comes to these prophesied dates such as 2012, and how there's an incredible competition with that energy in the shadow government, in the Illuminati agendas, to kind of overpower it and take it over through artificial intelligence and the use of these negative technologies. So I've always felt like this personal battle, like between that and my mission, and just awakening this within all and joining forces with those who get it, because this is within all of us. I mean, this is something we all carry. And it's been sort of exiled and forgotten with this overtaking of, you know, the war machine and the false flags and this sort of manipulation of our DNA and the dumbing down of the way we perceive ourselves and this, what's happened in religion that creates everything is separation. God's over there and we're over here. And so this has not just been about, the two merging together. It's also about understanding integration and not being a victim, but realizing that when we can see the shadow parts of ourselves and the shadow part of our existence here on planet Earth, and we can start to awaken ourselves and come into balance on a masculine and feminine level, on a religion, sort of moving to the side and having spirituality and science start to come together, and all these different dualities come together, we actually assist this planet in ridding itself of all these lower entities, parasitic forces, and darkness that has been ruling for thousands of years.
You know, what you're talking about, this balancing of these powers, that I've really been into Jung and this understanding of when he refers to, you know, the shadow, and that there's the love of power, which is more the masculine, and there's the power of love, which is more the feminine, and each is the shadow of the other. And right. That this balance of the masculine and the feminine energies, you know, this dynamic, what we're seeing is that Western civilization has been, you know, the love of power on war steroids now for a century. And, of course, you know, the banksters have been making a killing in the process, and we've got this imbalance now that succeeded to the point where gross defects obscure actual gains. And it's got to the point where, whether you call it the judgment or the great purification or the, and I've actually on my website that I have posted on Cosmic Love on recent articles, there's been several YouTube videos, you know, that go through explaining how Earth right now, with different alignment with the galactic, you know, the galactic plane, and which is, according to Kalman, is actually 2011. And there's this energy shift. Everything seems to be accelerating, you know, and there's a lot of people waking up. Veil is thinning, so to speak. Time is shortened in the sense it's accelerating. And there's this awareness. A lot more people are becoming aware of this balancing catharsis that's going on, the masculine and feminine, love of power, power of love, to where, you know, it's like compels an attention to the process, and you've been kind of in the trenches with this. And could you share some of your experiences with the Pegasus Project and some of your experiences with that?
Well, see, Andrew Bishago, who's my colleague, was involved in Project Pegasus, and my association with Project Pegasus is that in 1972. Before I was born, Project Pegasus had pre-identified me through quantum access about the work that I'd be doing in the world, pretty much around this time, around the time that I'd be meeting Andy, and that's why he was told. And so,
okay, let me go back here. Quantum access. I understand it, but for some of the listeners, quantum access is a way of accessing the timeline and referencing, so to speak, there is no time in the quantum field, and that you're. There's basically a way of referencing your energy signature as your soul contract or your mission, and that's how they identified you in the same way that they've been able to identify quite a few presidents before they were elected that they were supposed to be president. You're familiar with that?
Yeah, that's what Andrew was doing when he was using the chronovisors and, of course,
right.
The Looking Glass Technologies. And
Looking Glass
yeah.
Technologies, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, now So, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh no, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to qualify that. But so you were identified with this, and you were being prepared for this Project Pegasus for your role in it.
Well, it wasn't so much that I was a part of Project Pegasus. It was just about me meeting up with Andrew and collaborating, which is kind of a part of it because he's the guy that's all about Project Pegasus. He has a website. He's kind of taken over the reins of Project Pegasus as far as being a whistleblower. my thing was more about getting caught up in the Mars recruitment and how those two stories came together, because he had teleported to Mars twice. And so our stories connected, and that's sort of the pre-identification in Project Pegasus regarding me, was about seeing that him and I would join forces and reveal a lot of the stuff going on, which connects to Alternative 3, the establishment of off-planet colonies. And that's the major connection there.
Now,
as far as being in the trenches, excuse me?
Pardon? Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, as far as being in the trenches, it's definitely been about facing all the different gatekeepers that have been trying to block the feminine energies from returning that would bring these forces back into balance. And that's sort of what's interesting about the planet Mars and what it represents. It's a very masculine planet. It's really about war. I mean, astrologically speaking, it connects to war, domination, and will, like power. And to have the Venus energies sort of tame that is part of, which is basically my work. That's just one aspect of it. And the Venus transits, which the Mayans knew about in the Mayan calendar. And so the Sophia Immaculate energies are associated with Venus. The Venus transits are about the return of the feminine energies. But she's been doing all this work this whole time, thousands of years of it, working, as a being, which is really my soul print, and many others. I mean, this is really about the heart chakra. It's where we find this in our heart. It connects to the thymus gland. It connects to the immune system. So when we really do connect with the heart, what it does is, it raises the frequencies. And just like the immune system of a physical being or a body, when the immune system increases, everything that's undermining its health and well-being gets ejected, and that's what we're dealing with right now. The Venus transits are actually drawing a pentagram in the sky, which is reversing the demonic consciousness that's been on the planet, that have been sort of, that's been the mentality of, these dark agendas that have been, connected with these dark rituals and, affecting the grid lines and really undermining and compromising the creative energy of our planet by doing everything under the sun that they can to keep the planet in a low vibration. So cosmically speaking, the Venus energies, the divine feminine energies, have been working cosmically and on Earth, as we carry and ground and anchor the frequencies, to bring about this reversal so that the inverted pentagram turns upright again, and that's the alchemy. That's the global alchemy. When I call myself a global alchemist, it's connecting to turning that back up again and having spirit be the dominating force rather than controllers and the masculine and matter and the physical being what's kind of keeping spirit and the soul consciousness of humanity enslaved. So
yeah,
that's kind of what it really connects to.
So spiritual alchemy is like transmutation of the base elements of consciousness into the higher elements of consciousness.
Right. Reversing everything that's sort of been kind of trapping or trying to throw that energy off or blocking it, really. And that's really where our DNA, the junk DNA, all that, and the exile of the Gnostic wisdom and the goddess, that's where it's all connected to, because it's been woven into our culture to think it's normal to have all that not in our lives. It takes profound awakening to realize what the missing links are. And, and that's really where we are right now. Many, many folks are starting to realize, oh, okay, well, this is what's needed. And the perfect place to figure it out is in our own beings, because we know ourselves well enough to know what's wrong when we dig real deep in order to heal ourselves. And collectively, we need to step up to the plate and see. But see, the thing is, it's happening cosmically as we speak. I mean, we have the whole cosmos on our side as far as bringing about this transformation.
Right.
And so in the trenches would be dealing with these projects and dealing face-to-face with these, what I call gatekeepers, who I do not hate, I do not judge, and I totally forgive, because they're a part of a catalyzing force to create this transformation, transmutation.
It's like tension release.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you're taken away from what you're here to do to the point where it forces you to do it even louder and even more boldly. So in a way, I thank it, but it certainly, was not for me, and it doesn't represent anything that my mission was about, which I had really been fully in touch with for my whole life. So,
well, it's interesting. I think I contacted you when the moon was conjunct Venus here a few weeks ago. And I'm really tuned into those astrology, psychology cycles. I mean, the last couple of days we've had a cardinal grand square grand cross, and there's been a real catharsis energies, and of course all over the planet. I mean, energetically, the whole planet. There was a volcano going off in Mexico. There was another major earthquake off of Japan. There was just, the storms that have been, it's like the whole planet right now is going through a huge energetic catharsis.
And that's the thing, too, because, you know, the planets definitely balance itself, heal itself. And so there's naturally going to be, you know, earthquakes and volcano eruptions and all sorts of things. But the thing with HARP technologies is it takes advantage of those moments and it pushes them into populations so that people start to, you know, so they can thin out the population. So, I mean, there is a battle here in a sense, but yet, you know, we instinctually know what to do. I mean, when we're really awakened and touched, we know what to do. Just like when you cut the human body, the body knows how to heal itself without us having to say, okay, white blood cell,
right.
Go for it. It just doesn't, you know? And,
yeah.
You know, of course, if the wound is big, one has to take extra care of it and make sure it's taken care of. And so that's, I mean, we're dealing with a major wound here on all sorts of levels, psychological warfare, spiritual warfare, dream warfare, and all the activity going on in these underground bases. This is a huge insult, but at the same time, the will of nature and the deepest part of us know exactly what we're doing just through our actions, just through love, just through unity consciousness, which takes care of that duality that has given us this good and evil scenario.
Well, I had a messenger of the Divine Mother on Matthew Restlinger here a couple shows ago, and he was saying that the entire creation exists within our heart, and of course the Mayan elders refer to the same thing. You know, if you just listen to your heart, as you know, things, earth changes and things intensify, you know, all the answers, it's just really simple, you know, faith and love and respect and just basically, you know, heart coherence, you know, is and of course there's this, the coherence that the whole earth with the earth wobble is going through is it's coming, you know, to in a process of realigning the axis of the earth and stabilizing the seasons. And what we're seeing now is, like someone say, the darkest before the dawn. And this is like the initiation of, you know, earth rebirth. And actually, that's really why I love having you on at this time, because this whole alchemical process of mutation, transformation of our consciousness, of the earth itself, I mean, it's like right now such a catharsis that, you know, you not only can sense it, you know, internally, but externally, you know, the whole world's going through this process. I mean, it's an amazing time to be alive.
It really is. It really is. And the thing is, you know, if one can stay out of fear and just, you know, really make a point to not let oneself be controlled, they can do all the mind control they want, but where they can't really do heart control, spirit control, consciousness control. That's where we do have the power. And when we stay in that, our minds can't really be controlled because the frequencies of spirit, of love, of higher consciousness trump anything that our conscious mind is actually doing. So even with these kind of manipulations going on, it's really at a low frequency. And all of that can be deactivated when we step into this, our higher self, into our hearts. And that's, yeah, really where we're at right now. And people have to understand that any kind of fear or allowing oneself to be controlled is a part of a lesson to kind of be able to say, wait a second, this has got to stop. Anytime we say no, enough already, we make that change. And we're always in the right place at the right time when we're being true to ourselves. And it's not about fearing death. Whatever is in front of us, it's not about, oh, we're just trying to stay alive. To me, it's about trying to make sure that we stay free in our being. And because death, we've been there, done that. And as the veils lift, the life and death cycle starts to alter, and the veils between life and death lift. And we start to realize that we're actually time travelers, and we're going through portals, and we're going on a multidimensional journey without this sort of, you know, living a life and then dying and having loved ones that die. It's like we're way more expanded. And this is what connects to myth and how these scenarios were set up in order to put us in this human existence when we're way beyond human, and we're starting to realize what our greater powers are. We're also starting to realize that most of these technologies are only mimicking what we already have in our own beings and our own abilities, and technology is just a mimic of it. And we're going to start to realize that we don't even need technology eventually. We'll be beyond technology, beyond sixth dimension. There's no need for technology. Even UFOs don't exist in that dimension. It's all about the light body. It's all about, you know, really just reaching these upper dimensions.
You know, it fascinates me, as you're saying, is it's triggering, you know, my understanding of how we are embryo gods. You know, we're embryo. I mean, we're in the process of becoming and awakening to, sometimes I call it the divine feminine, masculine balance. But there's this concept of when you're in heart coherence. It's like when you're in the eye of the hurricane and you're centered and connected in that harmonious calm at the center of the hurricane, or heart coherence. There's that philosophic calm, which is that coherence is like a stargate, and it does. There is an interdimensional strength through the heart that transcends planes, transcends time. And I mean, this concept of heart coherence, I keep coming around to it because, you know, the concept of a holographic field and the brain is a holographic connection, you know, to the heart. The heart sets the resonance up, and you know, the frequency resonance, and the stilling of the breath, and the harmonics of the heart, the 3-4 rhythm of the heart, sets, you know, basically the coordinates for the brain waves, you know, going from beta consciousness to, you know, alpha, theta, you know, delta, and, you know, the deeper levels where it's like the still mountain lake that reflects the heavens, and you can see through the still waters of the mountain lake and see, you know, the lake bed, which is like the unconscious. And so the surface consciousness reflects the heavens, and yet you can see through the subconscious, and there's that congruence. My understanding with this heart coherence, there's that congruence where the integration of the subconscious and the superconscious in the you know, a fully conscious mind, you know, creates a holographic, you know, a field where there is no, I mean, you transcend time and space. And that E equals MC squared. C is like, you know, as you become conscious of how you're conscious, and it's like you approach the speed of light. and now they're discovering, you know, that thought, you know, is instant everywhere and is faster than the speed of light. And this, of course, gets into the quantum field and the quantum, you know, the quantum reality that you've really had it's really interesting how you've got, you know, like the razor's edge between the mysteries of God and the mysteries of quantum, the quantum field.
Right.
Science. Yeah.
And it's this strange family history that has been so misunderstood and so much hidden. And also just, you know, the emergence of so many people breaking free of these projects that have really revealed what they're in competition for, which they don't want us to be all that we're made of, and they're very threatened by that. And instead of being able to surrender to it and find that immortal seed of divine consciousness within themselves, they want to stay in this program of control, and that's really working with these lower entities that they're, you know, being used to implement their agendas. And that's really why, you know, the particular races like the Greys, as future human selves of these folks, are coming back as time travelers, and using, you know, humanity to help keep their race alive, which they're always saying in these government treaties, their race is dying out. Well, no higher race ever dies out or needs to make any treaties with the government. This is a part of the time travel, a part of the timelines that had to go to underground bases, and whose physical beings ended up changing into these sort of forms. And they're a different type of race than most of these higher races. They are into self-preservation of their own species, and so that's just, you know, one level, you know, just like the ocean. The dolphins never see what's fully at the bottom, and, you know, we're lifting out of that. We're lifting out of their timelines as they're trying to manipulate ours, but it can't be manipulated. We can only be tricked into thinking that. Their only power is in deception and secrecy, and it's being deceived that gets us off track, because our thoughts are the creativity of us. So when we start to believe the propaganda, then we start to change our creative energy and what we put out there, when really we're in charge of ourselves and we don't even have to go there. And anyway, that goes, and that's another part of my experience, is really understanding, you know, what these treaties have been about and what's been really going on with these lower races on the planet, and why they've wanted to protect the human genome. And I understand these projects, but at the same time, there's ways to just handle what's here right now on Earth.
So the divine destiny of Earth, as I understand it, is that it is coming, as our whole solar system comes into alignment, so to speak, with the galactic plane and the photon belt of hundreds of billions of star systems, which is really, you know, an energy field, just an intense alignment with the great central sun of our galaxy. Then as it resonates through our sun and all these hundreds of billions of star systems, and, of course, the energy fields of Earth, there's just an energetic, a kind of an energy that our science fairly understands, from, you know, neutrinos to all this other quantum energy, and this is having to do with the acceleration of everything on Earth, including the heating up of the Earth and heating up of all the planets in our solar system, and you know this systemic change that's going on in our cells and electrons and in our consciousness. And
yep.
What I understand, as far as divine destiny goes, that you know this concept that in the Mayan calendar, Carl Kalman talks about, you know, the unity consciousness or the universal co-creation with this conscience, you know, this light, this photonic light, or you know, some people will call it the mind of God or the heart of love, or this energy of you know, divine order and harmony, you know, like left brain and right brain, you know, the love of power and balance with the power of love, in a way that there's a co-creation, or you know, like between the left brain, right brain, you know, that you have this, you know, the brain switching between the two hemispheres, and that's the creative learning evolutionary process. And what's going on in the Earth right now is, like you say, there are status quo powers that be, so to speak, that want to own and control the physical and human resources of the planet, and they really don't want things to change to a unity consciousness and an upwising and an uprising of the collective consciousness to transcend, you know, the lockstep linear letter of the law, you know, that kills the spirit of the law. And so, I mean, it's really fascinating to me to see this dynamic going on now and accelerating and people awakening and to their highest hopes and potentials and for the, I mean, there's technologies there, you know, for quantum medicine, for energetic healing, that transcends the chemistry of disease with the energies of health, you know, and there's energy, and as you also know, there's these other technologies that are extremely advanced, not just for, you know, running our cars and our homes and our industries on water, for, you know, with electrolysis and the new, you know, hydrogen conversion systems, but you know, just free energy from the ethers of space, you know, like Nikola Tesla developed. And of course, all these technologies and all these potentialities, you know, for healing, for energy, for the abundant life, for the abundant, you know, consciousness, for, you know, for upwising, uprising, etc., makes obsolete, you know, the status quo system matrix, whatever you want to call it, as it is. So it's understandable that you know, that those who have the special interests that have a vested interest in keeping freedom and power from the people rather than of, by, and for the people, I mean, they're being exposed right now, and everyone's waking up to this is the problem. And, of course, the solution is kind of a common sense. Common sense, unity, conscience, you know, there's that common sense is upwelling, and this is the divine destiny. You know, it's like we're coming into unity in a way that, you know, it becomes common sense what the solution is.
It really is. I mean, I wrote an article called Unity Consciousness Will Collapse the Military-Industrial Complex, and also the term Alternative 4, which is Alternative 3 was the off-planet colonies and the underground bases. Alternative 4 is really about the power of the human spirit, and that is all we really need to comprehend right now. And, you know, this really connects to the myths of, you know, the Tree of Life, of the restoration of the Tree of Life, and the duality and the split that we've been going through all these karmic cycles in order to restore, that we're reaching the fruition of, where we've gone through trial and error enough to really start to understand, you know, that this is really the restoration time, and this is what the whole snake kundalini energy was about, you know, in Eden. And, of course, it's been rewritten in many different ways to avoid us really getting the fact that knowledge is about everything in our own beings. It's about being in touch with, you know, the lower and the higher, and understanding that the forces of light and dark, it, not one or the other can ever go away. But when people can really recognize that the darkness is really about the womb and about creativity and about the fertility of the imagination, and the higher spheres is all about the seeds that we're planting in that in order to create an enlightened world and, a, you know, incredible, you know, abilities to just manifest life in front of us, then we realize that that's the knowledge that we gain from the Tree of Knowledge to bring it back to the restoration of the Tree of Life, which creates immortality, which is where you were saying, you know, the right and left brain come together, which is where the natural stargate opens up. And it's opening up on us on an individual level and on a global level. My work has been about making sure this, well, it's going to happen. They've been trying to shut it down, the natural stargate connected to 2012 in this window period. And what's interesting, just as a side note, because you mentioned 2011 is really the activating year, I realized, I added up my birthday, September 29th, 1973, 929-1973 adds up to 2011. So I was thinking, like, years ago, I'm like, I think when 2011 hits, I might have a voice. And funny enough, 2011 hits, and I'm like, yay!
Yeah.
And I just...
I'm trying to tune into cycles myself, and I've been connecting the dots more and more this last year. I've had really interesting speakers on the show, and learning from them and their resources, and just kind of networking. And of course, Facebook is amazing for the links I'm finding on that, and the YouTube videos, etc. But I read when you were talking about Alternative 3. I read that book. Gosh, it must have been 15, 20 years ago, and you can't even find it anymore, about these off-planet colonies. And that whole story of the brain drain internationally, and how the scientists all over the world were co-opted into this program called Alternative 3 for off-planet colonies on the moon and beyond. And when you go into talking about, you say that Alternative 4 really deals with more the spiritual realm and what's going on with the energetics of consciousness, and trying to hold the matrix of consciousness with the, of course, the dark side tries to use the fear matrix, and the light side, is the fearless faith matrix, you might say. And you've got this dynamic going on, and the way you reference that, with the tree of life and the kundalini or the serpent power rising up. I understand that tree of life is like, the scripture that referred to you're sitting under your own vine and fig tree. And basically, it's like your I Am Presence, or your higher etheric spiritual self, as it descends through your crown chakra, your third eye, different chakras, to the base of the crown, and that energy then, rising and meeting, as above, so below. This is what you're talking about, the tree of life, as I understand it.
Yeah, and it's really about becoming that Christ conscious being, and being the integration of the divine union, the Christ Sophia energy within oneself, instead of, how religion just kind of makes that something to worship, which creates the inability to really step up and rise into that which is already within us. And so,
the sense of separation rather than the sense of unity.
Right. Or the sense of recognizing ourselves as divine beings that are absolutely made of the same things, and that the message really was about liberation, not, worship. So it's all really unfolding right now at a rapid speed. And it has seeds of victory planted thousands of years ago, and it's not about finding an ancient text and reading it and having all the answers. It's really about looking deep within and saying, it's not about listening to everything else. It's about being inspired by other things, but we never should give our power away. We can take the information and pass it by, ourselves first. And it's an internal process right now, not what the external is showing us. It only shows us a mirror of the level of health that our humanity is in right now. The level of imbalance our humanity is in is reflecting what the disasters and these agendas are all about. And that's why, when we take responsibility and that simple solution of unity consciousness, that's where all the restoration takes place.
Well, one of my favorite authors is David R. Hawkins, Power versus Force.
Mm-hmm.
And are you familiar with that book, that work?
No.
Power versus Force? He was the one that has worked with about a million people worldwide in studies with behavioral kinesiology and the muscle testing with the ability to actually test physical things but spiritual things and with spiritual things, and they've done testing, and it's been corroborated with other people that use this system of behavioral kinesiology, where they've actually been able to find that, one person who in their higher Christ self, Buddhist self, in their higher self, will hold the balance for like hundreds of thousands of individuals. And actually, in this whole process of unity consciousness, and there's other researchers that have been doing this with quantum physics, finding out that, that even within a community of so many million people, that it doesn't take that many people that are actually in their higher self holding the balance and harmonizing or otherwise basically creating a force field where the power of love will hold the balance for the inordinate love of power, so to speak. And
absolutely. I have heard of all that. I didn't know the exact book, but yeah, just one person to take care of thousands and thousands.
Yeah, it's really amazing, and it doesn't take that many people that are centered and connected with their higher Christ self.
That's the number 144,000 was another number that they came up with. If 144,000 with 12 times 12, it relates to the tribes of Israel, I guess.
That's right. Yeah.
That would be, that's the key number that for the planet.
It's really
true or not? Yeah.
it's really amazing where the numerology meets the psychology and the spiritual. You know,
that's the thing. It's all connected. People don't think it's all everything's connected. There is no real alien. There's nothing alien. It's all a part of the cosmic ecosystem, and we're all connected to it. Depending on what dimensional level we're at or what our vibratory frequency is, depends on what we attract on the outside, and it comes from within. So there really isn't anything that alien. It's when we continue to think of things as separate from us, we begin to fear it or worship it or oppose it or agree with it, but we never really take responsibility to actually change the pictures in front of us and the reality that we have a lot of control over, really.
Oh, you know, it's amazing. Yeah, and I think that process of moving towards the divine feminine is really moving from the left brain, linear, logical, letter of the law, to the right brain, spherical, nonlinear, you know, synchronicity, how it's all connected, intuitive frame of reference. And this is what's happening inadvertently. One of the things that's done that is the instant everywhere interactive internet. You know, there is no time or space anymore. It's just like, you know, you've got a global village now of people that are connecting. And again, to me, Facebook is amazing the way, you know, they're. I love it too. You know, it's amazing. You know, the YouTube videos. Oh my gosh, they're just the most amazing stuff coming out right now. And I think anyone that's really got their, you know, eyes wide open, and is connecting the dots, that process is accelerating. And I really think the whole process of unity consciousness, or unity conscience, I sometimes refer to it, you know, is eliminating that sense of separation. There is a sense of how we're connected, that we're connected, and that, you know, the I am that I am, you know, like Moses down for the mountaintop, you know, it's like our higher Christ selves are like, you know, a 4D, you know, beyond 3D to 4D, and our higher Christ selves are, you know, reaching up to the 5D, you know, which is like the I am presence, that, you know, that unity consciousness where we really get it. And it's, I mean, it's enough to grasp the concept that we each have a higher Christ self or real self, you know, is where love is forgiving, you know, the love. The power of love is for giving, you know, it's service to others, and that's a big step for people that are in a 3D, you know, service to self.
Right, and that's the law of one talks about that, service to self and service to others. And
that's
service,
right.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, and of course, you know, that whole process of moving from service to self, service to others, and then, you know, in the higher aspect of that, we are one, you know, it's just like a self-evident truth, and of course, you know, it's like every once in a while I have glimpses of it, you know, the sense of it where it's really clear to me, but it's almost beyond, you know, words and frames of reference that the left brain perceives. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a concept, and it's a concept we can aspire to. And
it's,
I think
mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, it's also, I mean, service to others isn't completely selfless. It's also seeing others as yourself. So you're serving the whole, you're actually serving yourself. It's like, because we are one. I mean, everybody is, we're all connected to each other. We're all mirrors in a sense. So people think, oh, but I don't want to just be selfless. Why is it always about others? Well, others are you. And that's where that part of it is for me. But anyway, continue.
Yeah, I call it enlightened self-interest, because self is the larger connect to self, then it's like the difference of our real self or Christ self versus our ego or our not self or the unreal
self. Yeah,
yeah.
So service to others would definitely be ego-based, self-preservation, what is in it for me instead of what is in it for all, forgetting that all is what's taking care of the self and that we're not okay unless everything's okay. And we're ultimately okay regardless because we, you know, we're infinite beings. But that's really the key to ascension is understanding, you know, the service to others, and also understanding that the demiurge force, the what seems to be the judgmental God, the non-forgiving type, the punishing type, is an imposter. And that's what the New Testament, the Old Testament was based on, that sort of teaching. And people mistook that for God, who refused to see Sophia and the Christ consciousness as its mother and father, and has been blocking us. And that has been the veil that we're lifting. And that is really connecting to all the agents of that are what these dark agendas are all connected to as well.
Yeah, it's amazing to me how this process right now it's becoming self-evident that there's all the technology, so to speak, or of course within our own beings. You know, and this is kind of the fulfillment, you might say, of the computer internet revolution on the outer is effective sensory perception, or ESP, on the inner. You know, where we're beyond the technology. And of course, you know, if there's extraordinary earth changes, pole shifts, and, you know, then maybe that it will be the initiation to where, you know, the outer initiations of effective sensory perception, and it will be the fulfillment of, you know, down the road, you know, to where there are no secrets because of effective sensory perception and that sense of connection and or intuition. I mean, if everybody knows better, we're all going to do better, you know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of an abstract concept, but, you know, I have to wonder what kind of initiation Earth is going through right now, and what kind of initiation are we going to be going through, maybe not even in this embodiment, but, you know, who's going to, I mean, I like to think, you know, that the meek shall inherit the Earth, and they're the ones going to, you know, incarnate into these golden age communities that are, you know, for the millennial Aquarian, you know, golden age, you know, that basically we're going to have an opportunity, who knows? You know,
right. Well, Sophia, you know, is morphed into the physical planet. So, you know, the Earth is going through that return to the Pleroma that, you know, as Sophia does, as an energy, as the divine feminine within all of us, and we sort of return to ourselves, return to our, you know, higher consciousness. The planetary body is going through the same thing through all these different cycles. And this is really the alchemy of nature and the whole predator victim thing that we see in nature of this animal eats this animal. And then we have, you know, the four seasons, and we have this sort of, you know, the core is a planet is the sun. And then we have the sun out there. And then we have these archonic planets that our zodiac is ruled by. And we have to really understand, too, that this the end of the cycle is also the end of the zodiac, the end of having to be sort of co-creating with the stars and the planets, but more co-creating with Source, and that the zodiac has initiated us into more co-creation with Source itself without these sort of scenarios of, you know, we're all different sun signs and we have these aspects in our charts. That wheel is a part of what was set in motion when duality came about, to give us certain codes that we're born with to go through these processes and to eventually say, okay, the wheel of necessity, which as it has been called, is no longer needed because now we're just full-on co-creating. And that's what we've been being reminded of. And that's what...
Well, that's interesting. That's an interesting way to, you know, I've always thought about this. You know, again, our astrology is our, you know, our psychology, and I've done advanced astrology workshops, and I've really tuned into that with friends, relatives, and many different individuals, and understanding how that language works. And I can see how, you know, again, just like we're born into a family and at a time, we're born into, and you know, the genetics we're born into, you know, that astrology psychology that's internalized. And, you know, the order of the universe of the Chinese, they explain, you know, they're the same ancient Chinese that developed acupuncture and the energetics of the body. They had this order of the universe that the fertilized cell in the womb of the mother, that the 12 lower vertebrae of the mother steps down the energies of the 12 constellations to create a bioenergetic force field in the womb that sets the, you know, with the cytosis, you know, from the division of the first fertilized cell into 2 to 4 to 16 to 32. And in 9 months, you know, basically the whole body is created, and it has the energetics of the universe coded in the frequencies, so that when you take your first fire breath, you know, your biological clock begins ticking, and you know, the kingdom of heaven is within you, you know.
Right.
And it's amazing, the initiations. Again, each soul or contract, part of their contract is, again, you know, the genetics they're born into, the astrology psychology, the environment, the families, the time, and history. And you think about that, it's like all of that for the soul is, and of course, you know, you take the idea that the soul's had thousands, if not millions, of incarnations to internalize this experience, to get back to Source, to that Source connection, to where we're all, so to speak, sorcerers.
Yeah.
And I'm fascinated with an idea of that. This is what unity consciousness is all about. So I have to come around to it metaphorically, because, you know, Christ spoke in parables, and exquisite metaphor, you know, is I think the way he would probably do it now, because trying to get a picture of something that's nonlinear and non-local and synchronicity on a level that's beyond, you know, left brain comprehension, you have to use metaphor, or, you know, parables.
True.
So
things like that. It's very much the poetic DNA, and it fits right into the Mayan calendar, the 64 hexagrams. And we look at the hexagrams, it's very much, you know, the poetic, you know, matrix of the way we connect to all of this. And it tells the story of, like, the laws of nature and the universe rather than the laws of man. So it's a very interesting book because of that.
Oh, that's fascinating. Well, the way the DNA is coded, the way it codes frequencies, the way it's a transceiver for not only, you know, our own emotions to others, but also transceiver of the energies of the cosmos, you know, within all the cells and electrons of our body. It's just, the DNA, I mean, the story of the DNA, and of course, Len Horowitz's book, Pirates of the DNA, and how the geneticists are trying to own the genetic code, the genetic materials. I mean, all of this is fascinating to me, but it really comes back to, you know, that we are between worlds, you know, with our consciousness, and we're between the microcosm and the macrocosm. I mean, our, you know, humans are, and it's like we are as embryo or embryo God, so to speak. And I mean, I could go on like this. I don't know. How you're doing, but usually I do a wrap about this time in a meditation. And
I was just going to say, just about a physical body made up of the five elements, earth, water, air, space, fire, you know?
The etheric fire.
Yeah, which is connected to the carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, phosphorus, and sulfur. And it's just interesting because everything has, similar to alchemy, you know, another trait to it that becomes a scientific thing when really, you know, there's no difference. Big bang, let there be light, what's the difference? So anyway,
And according to the Mayans, you know, the five ages that we've been through, now we're in the final age of fire, and that this etheric fire, you know, is from the great central sun through these hundreds of billions of star systems and the alignment, you know, in the galactic plane with our solar system as it crosses it, and it's all harmonizing and resonating through these solar systems, through our sun, this energy is radiating through our atoms, which are like miniature suns. And it's like resonating, and so this energy of awakening, this etheric fire, is like doing alchemical transmutation. It's transmuting matter, and I call it the spirit that matters. And
Oh, that's awesome.
Hello. Are you still there?
Are you there? Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I was going to do a wrap. I wanted to thank you so much for being on the show today and being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful.
And hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Yes, I hope so.
So that's going to be it today for Cosmic Love. We're going to have a little meditation now. Doug, I think you have that queued up. And so it's happy trails, and until we meet again, thanks, Laura.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There is a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, The internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love. And the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. the family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.